glorify you, Father. Your name is above every other name, and at your name every knee must bow. We come before you this day with thanksgiving, praising and worshiping you, speaking that name that is above every other name, and all things bow to your lordship. Thank you, Father. Chains have been cut and your people released. Walls are collapsing as Jerichos of our lives fall. We magnify you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have your way, O God, in our lives. Have your way. And do that which is right for us, every one of us. Helping us, O God, to know good success in every area of life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you this evening. I'm glad that you came to worship the true God, the only true God, in spirit and in truth. Thank you. This morning I began sharing with us about living a worry-free life. Worry does not only affect us spiritually, it also affects us physically. Fear, anxiety affects us spiritually and also affects us physically. When you and I, anyone worries, your body goes through a very stressful experience. Anxiety stresses the body physically. Anxiety and worry will age you faster than you ought to. But not only does it affect you in terms of that, it affects your brain. It affects that area of your brain called the hippocampus. What it does to the hippocampus is that it shrinks it. It begins to shrink it. Now, the hippocampus is that area of your brain that processes your memory, long-term memory, and contextual memory. And that's important to know, because if you don't have contextual memory, you begin not only to lose your long-term memory, you begin to lose the ability to remember things. So when you worry, you are losing your ability to remember. Now that is something that we really need to pay attention to. Because there are lots of people, and the older, of course, you get, and you worry what, the less you'll be able to retain important information. Now, there are other reasons why your hippocampus can shrink, but this is a primary reason for that to happen. So we're going to do something before we continue this evening. I want you to lay your hands on your head And I want you to say these words. Father, I stop right now the shrinking of my hippocampus. I declare restoration. So, Lord, O God, I can remember contextually and in long terms. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, O God, that my remembrance will be filtered through the atmosphere and the integrity of love, so that I am not holding on to bad images and bad memories, walking in the spirit of bitterness and strife, but rather resting in your peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, hippocampus, be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, as we address the issue of living a worry-free life, our emphasis was very directly on the integrity of God, the awesomeness of God, that you and I need to recognize the fact that God, the God we serve, is a big, big God, a good God, a God who cares, who understands, who is very detailed. He cares about every single thing. So he tells us, if one hair of your head falls to the ground, he knows about it. And when he talks about the number of your hair, he's not talking about the amount in totality. He's talking about each individual strain of hair. So if strain number one or number 1,000 falls, he knows which one fell off your head while you were combing your hair today. He knows which one broke and hung onto the comb. He knows which hair got stuck on the brush. He's that detailed. He knows every single detail of your life. And as a good God, he has provision made for every aspect of our lives. We found out from the Word of God that the key to getting to know God and experiencing this awesomeness of God is in our ability to meditate on the Word of God. And when we talked about meditating on the Word of God, we said that meditating on the Word of God is not just about reading the Word of God, and it's not just studying the Word of God. Those are factors. You need to read it, you need to study it. But meditation goes beyond reading and studying the Word. It goes to the aspect of doing with the spirit of understanding what the Word of God says. In other words, if you have not acted out on the Word, you have not meditated on the Word. Meditation goes deep. It forms a bedrock in your relationship with God and in your perception of what's happening in your world. We all live in one world, that is true. But every person individually lives in their own world. The world that you live in is not the world that I live in, because your experiences are not my experiences. You live in your own universe, so to speak. Now, I don't want you to become esoteric about that and start mystifying that. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying that you live in your own world. Just think about it for a moment. You were raised in a family. You went to a particular school. The way you think is different from the way I think. We all have the same mechanism for thinking, but we think differently. And that's why we come up with different ideologies and ideas and philosophies, and we, you know, learn from each other because we live in a particular world. You can bring up a child or two children in the same family and both of them end up doing two different things because they create their world. How do we create our world? By how we perceive things, what we say, how we respond to situations, what we do with what we have learned. It all determines what kind of a world you and I live in. Now, you can live in a world that is supercharged with faith because you believe the Word of God. You take on the Word of God and you respond by the authority of that Word. Or you can live in the world of circumstances and be beaten down even though both people are going through the same experience. Jesus, our Lord, said, "I will liken a wise man to a man who came and heard my words, and having heard those words, he did it." He said, that's a wise man. A wise man comes, hears the word of God, and does it. He said, that man's house was built upon a solid rock. And when the storm of life came, that house stood. He says, but a foolish man came, watch this, heard the word, but did not do it. He said, that was a foolish man. Because the same storm came and knocked down his house. They both built houses. But one house stood the test of time, and the other failed because it was based on a foundation that was not solid. The difference between both of them was not in the coming. It was not in the hearing. It was in the doing. One did, the other didn't. The one that did was solid. The one that didn't built his house on sand, shifting sand. And when the storm came, it just washed off those little grains of sand and whatever else, and the whole house came collapsing. The foundation of my life and the foundation of your life is in our doing the Word of God. It is not just in the hearing. It is not just in the studying, it is in the doing. If you are not a doer of the works, James tells us, you fail. A life of worry is not the absence of the word. That's what I'm trying to say to you. That's why people can come to church every service, hear every word that was said, and still fail. And say, what church do you go to? Who's your pastor? What do they teach you in that church? How is it that you failed? Well, because you did not do what you heard. Forgetful hearers. How do you forget? You forget because you are not in the business of acting out the Word of God on a daily basis. When you come to church this evening or tomorrow or Sunday morning or Wednesday evening or whenever, or you're listening to the Word of God, or you're even having your daily devotion, find out something that particular day that you're going to work on. Practice. Do, because that's how you get solid. You don't do it, it's nonsense. It's a waste of time, a waste of energy. You are lying to yourself. You are deceiving yourself. Well, I heard the word of God. That's good. Did you do it? Because it's in the doing, the observing, that you make your way prosperous. Joshua says to us in Joshua 1, 8 and 9, you meditating on the word of God, You make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. In other words, when you succeed, your success will not become your poison. Your success will not be your downfall. There are people, not that I'm advising that you do this, you can pray all you want, go play 649 lottery or whatever and win it, and now you have $7 million or $8 million or $10 million or whatever amount of money it is. And I can assure you, as I stand here today, that if you are not grounded in the Word of God and do not know with the spirit of wisdom and understanding what God's plan is for you, you will be broke in a year's time. You would have spent all of... Listen, you could have even given most of that money to the house of God and still fail. So why would you fail? I sowed it. No. It's not just about sowing. It's not just about giving your money. There are principles attached to that. God didn't say, I'm going to rain you money after you give. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. What does the blessing do? The blessing causes you to know good success. If you sit down on your behind and do nothing, you will end up with nothing. God gives you ideas and you say, it says, whatever you place your hands to do, it will prosper. Your prosperity is always in the hearing of the Word of God and in the doing of the Word of God. Both have to go together. It says, faith without works is dead. Is that not the Word of God? Yeah. So, doing is important. Observing to do. The Word of God says, observe to do. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe, that you observe to do, according to all that is written therein. Now, the according to all that is written therein doesn't necessarily mean that you have to know all the scriptures in the Bible. But it means that you learn to do what is showing to you right now. The Word of God will reveal deeper levels for you. As you pursue after the heart of God, you get to know more, and you do that. And then you know the next, and you do that. And you know the next, and you do that. And you know the next, and you do that. And you keep on growing, doing. Because every time, as you are doing, God is establishing you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the Word of God says to us, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 through 30, it says to us, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's very clear. You want rest? Come to me. You have issues? Come to me. For many times, we don't go to God. God is an afterthought. God is something that we decide on after a while, after we've tried everything. Reminds me of a group of friends that were canoeing and they got into trouble. And they did everything they could do to solve their situation. And after they failed at every attempt, one of them said, "Let us pray." And the other one said, the other guy says, "Has it come to that already?" Has it come to that? And that's how many times many of us live our lives. We try to do it in our own strength, in our own ability. And when nothing else works, let us pray. That kind of a life is a life being engineered to fail. No, the Word of God says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you." It's a decision that you and I make on a daily basis. Praise the Lord. The Word of God then goes and says, "Take my yoke." I want you to hear that. It says, "Take my yoke." I've got a yoke. Take it. I'm not going to force it on you. I want you to just take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Follow my direction. Follow my guidance. He says, when you do that, you're going to find safety. He says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." You're going to find rest unto your souls because you take my yoke. What is that yoke? The yoke of the Word of God. You allow yourself to be harnessed to the yoke of God so that he directs you. And in that, he's saying to us, listen, it doesn't matter how heavy the load is. If I am carrying the heavy part of this load, you're going to come in for a ride. When I am struggling with anything, I must ask myself this question: am I letting God lead me, direct me, guide me, show me which way to go? Because if you don't, you're going to start carrying the weight. I had to learn how not to carry the weight when it came to ministry. Because if I carry the weight of the ministry, it will age me faster than anything else. It will break me down mentally, emotionally, physically. It will destroy my life. Because ministry is you dealing with all kinds of people, with their issues. And they don't know that you've got issues. They want you to leave everything and do their stuff. So I have to learn how to lay it all down before the Lord and say, "God, which way am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to say? How am I supposed to deal with this?" Because if somebody has a problem and I take on that issue, then I am responsible to solve that issue. God didn't call me to solve anybody's problems. He calls me to speak in the wisdom of his spirit into that particular situation and be at peace and rest, recognizing that I've cast that burden onto the Lord. So the Word of God says in the next verse, it says this, and I want you to watch this. It says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It didn't say that his yoke is difficult, it's hard. No, it says it's easy and his burden is light. Wow. If I'm not experiencing that, I must ask myself, am I yoked to the Lord? What am I yoked to? My circumstance or to God? Who am I attached to? Your attachment is going to determine how you're going to feel at the end of the day. Who you are attached to is going to determine whether you are going to be moving with greater power, greater wisdom, greater understanding, or you are being plummeted into a realm of defeat. My yoke is easy and my burden light. You see, the word of God says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, Proverbs 13 and verse 15, it says, good understanding giveth favor. Understanding this will grant you favor. It says, but the way of transgressors is hard. The way of a transgressor is difficult, it's hard. If you're transgressing against the word of God, you're going to live a hard life. Get ready for it. Or you can trust God and allow the ease that grace brings into your life to bring you into that place of divine wholeness. In chapter 4 and verse 19 of Proverbs, Proverbs 4 and verse 19, we read, the way of the wicked is as darkness. But it's dark because they don't have the word of God. When you don't have the word of God, which is a light onto your feet, you're going to be walking in the dark. You're not going to see. He says, they know not at what they stumble. They know not at what they stumble because they're walking in the dark. That is not my portion, and that's not your portion. We must understand that God wants us to walk in the light as He is in the light. And He says, do my works while it is day, for when the night comes, no man can work. And I say this in a very prophetic way, that God is going to give us a stretch of time that we're going to have to do some quick work. Things are not always going to be the way they are now. But we must stand steadfast in faith and allow God to bring what He said to us months ago, a reset. There will be a reset. But after that reset, we're going to have a stretch of time that we're going to have to walk in the wisdom of God to put things in order and win as many as we can to the Lord in a short period of time. We must not lose the opportunity. But God is saying to us, this yoke is going to be easy. This burden is going to be light. You're going to have my directives and my guidance to accomplish what needs to be done. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm still reminded today how it was so many years ago, ministering the word of God, when God spoke to me loud and clear. He said, I want you to get cameras. Actually, the first word was, I want you to get on the internet. And at that time, there were no videos on the internet, just graphics. And even the graphics were terrible. You couldn't make a banner or whatever, you know, dot matrix. I'm sure some of you are old enough to remember those days, how it was. The fact was, in those days, I could not even imagine printing on a booklet. I thought we were always going to be using typewriters. They had already come up with fancy typewriters that had a ball. Not those strikers that goes all over that. You know, you just type and this ball keeps on rolling and doing what it's supposed to do. I thought that was how it was always going to be. And the Lord is saying, get on the internet. I'm saying, you want me to be writing every day to be on the internet? And He said, no, I want you to get cameras. I said, cameras for what? He said, for the internet. Cameras for the internet? How is that possible? He said, the gospel is going to be preached in the last days through the internet. This is how the gospel is going to reach the world. So, when God gives you direction, He makes it happen. He gives you the wisdom on what to do. And I remember very clearly then, don't mind my phone, I forgot to shut it down. I remember calling my dear friend at that time, Willard Thiessen. I said, I want to do a fundraiser. He said, for what? I said, I want to buy some cameras. I called him because he was in that kind of a ministry already. He had a television station. It's a New Day, and it broadcasted every day. So I connected myself to somebody who was already doing it. And I said, where am I going to have this fundraiser? I said, I'm going to go right to the top of this city. And so I rented the Fort Garry Hotel banquet hall, nice plush area, and invited whoever it is that could come, and it came, and we bought our first set of cameras at that time. For when? For the internet. For the internet. But in the process of getting it for the internet, we have cameras already. We have to be on television. We were doing television at that time, and the Lord wanted us on television. I wanted to be on television, but I was not doing anything about it. And so one day, in August, the Lord came to me and said, if you don't get on television by September, I'm going to have to take this assignment and give it to somebody else. So you better get on television by September. I said, I don't know what to do. Who's going to broadcast me? God said, listen, call the Miracle Channel. I'm not on the Miracle Channel today, but he said, call the Miracle Channel. So I called the Miracle Channel. I said, the Lord is asking me to be on television, and I have to be on television by September or my goose is cooked. The guy says, okay, we'll help you to not get cooked. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I got lights. Actually, I think one of them is right behind there. They're garage lights. I had no clue on what to do. I got garage lights, two of them, and we put it in front of us, lit us up, and we started rolling the camera. Brother, I'm not stretching it when I tell you this. You could hardly see us. All you could see mostly was white teeth. Hallelujah. The lighting was so bad. Praise the Lord. But the guys at Miracle Channel says, you need lighting, but we're going to try to show this. But get lights. So we bought lights. Hallelujah. And today that broadcast is still on. After so many years, it's still on. We got on by September. When the fire gets on you, you get moving. Hallelujah. And I know when God says, I've had it with you, He's had it, and I don't want to be in the big guy's trouble. If God says you can do something, you can. I had all these fears. I don't know how to do the promo. And God said, call this person, do this and do that. And I got everything done. Within weeks, it was done. What was taking years, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. took years, but when God said, you better do it now, it didn't take years. It was a quick work. That's why every time God says, I want you to do this, I get to it right away. It is not determined by what you have in your pocket. It's determined by what God has available for you. Because before God says, go do something, He's already worked on the full details, the logistics of it. And all you need to do is just start moving. And as you're moving, He will direct you. He will brighten your path. He will create opportunities. All kinds of things begin to fall into place. Every single day of your life, God is directing you. Every single day. For everything that you do, God is directing you. The thing is, even if you don't understand why He's directing you to do something, just do it. You might find out why you need it. Praise the Lord. Maybe in the Sahara Desert, and God says, take an umbrella. So the weatherman says, there's not going to be rain here, and there's never been rain here. Why am I taking an umbrella? Just take it. Just take the umbrella. Because it might not be rain, it might be some birds migrating from one direction to the other that are pooping. And you need the umbrella. Hello? Yesterday I was here, and the guys were working on the sound system and hooking up stuff, and they had a chain. And I heard the story about this chain, that this chain had been gotten by sister in the church because the chain was being thrown away. But she took it. So she took the chain. And guess what? That chain was needed for the harnessing of what we wanted to do because of following a direction. Many years ago, we had a situation here at the church where our heating system was down and we needed to get water from our artesian well for our cooling and our heating system. And it was summer and it was time to cool again and we had no cooling system. But prior to us fixing that problem, a dear son in this house went and started unhooking stuff. There's no money to fix it, but he's unhooking, unbolting stuff until the day that God gave me direction on how the problem was going to be fixed. It took maybe about a year or so, but I remember driving down Main Street, and the Lord says, just say, let there be a Burger King. And I said, let there be a Burger King. And today the Burger King is right there at the corner of Jefferson, or close to Jefferson, or whatever the other street is. At what? Enniskillen, yes. It was there that I said, let there be a Burger King. There was no Burger King. But God knew that from that Burger King, the equipment that I needed that was going to make it expensive for us to deal with the issue that we had here was going to be there. And when it was there, on the very last day, God showed me the equipment that we needed through another brother that was in this house, has gone home to be with the Lord. Anyway, he said, that's the equipment we're looking for. So I went and I asked for that equipment. The guy came here, and guess what? The whole thing was prepped. If he came here and somebody had not loosened the bolts and everything, he would have gone. My miracle would have walked away, driven away, without solving my problem. But somebody had listened and done what needed to be done. And so when they came, they just hooked up to what had been freed or loose already, lifted up the pipe that was maybe, I don't know, 50 feet or whatever. It's taller than this building. Got it out and put it on the side where AutoPark is right now. And my problem that was going to cost close to $30,000 got reduced all of a sudden to about $3,000, I believe it was. And not only did that happen, my system, the people who came to help fix the problem, looked at the insulation of the church and said, your insulation is bad. You're losing a lot of heat here. And they insulated all of the pipes in this church. By the time it was all finished, all said and done, we had saved $50,000+. All we paid was $3,000. But what I'm saying is, different people were following directions. It may not make sense to you, but it makes sense to God because God sees ahead of you. When he says, take this, take it if you don't understand it. When he says, give this, give it, you may not understand why. This is how you're going to walk in the fullness of God and come to a place where you live in a free void of worry life. Because God is directing your path. He's guiding you. He's helping you. He's leading you. Because we knew that the internet was going to be the way of preaching the gospel, we did not panic when there was a shutdown, because we knew. We were ready. We're already doing it. You're already prepared. I'm saying to you today, God wants you prepared for every situation, even though you don't know why you are getting prepared. And he says, prepare. He's saying to us now, prepare, prepare, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because if you and I are not ready, we will be faced with what we cannot handle. The Lord says to us, I know I'm not going to be done with this today. So I'm going to do this as best as possible. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, addressing this issue of worrying, we need to understand that God knows more than we do. He knows exactly what needs to be done. And today, if you're going through a situation and you are just being harassed by circumstances, it's a simple thing to do. We just need to come to God and say, God, I blew it. But you knew I was going to blow it. So I know you have another plan to help me get connected. And the amazing thing is that God will restore. That I failed yesterday does not mean that I'm a failure. It just means I failed yesterday. But success is on God's mind for me and for you. God can turn our situations around. Praise the Lord. Please hear what I'm saying to you today. God can turn my situation around. That I failed yesterday does not mean I'm a failure. It means I made mistakes. I made wrong decisions. But there is a God who says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There is a place for repentance. There is a place for crying out to God and saying, God, come help me. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. And I want you to notice something here. Notice what he says and what he did not say. He says, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Satan. Is that what it says? You cannot serve God and the devil. What does it say? You cannot serve God and mammon. Stuff, money, materialism. You cannot serve God and materialism. Listen, if you are focused on materialism, you're going to make wrong decisions in life because you think that's where your answer is. He says, you cannot do those two things, serve God and serve mammon. He says, you're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. Because either God is going to influence your thinking or mammon, materialism, is going to influence your thinking. Most decisions that we make in life are based on those two, God or mammon. That's right. In fact, I dare say that maybe every decision we make in life is based on those two things, God or mammon. Mammon representing money, representing stuff of every kind, even persons. People will kill, steal, lie, do all kinds of things because of mammon. I want to get this. I want to acquire this. Oh, this beautiful lady, this is my girlfriend, or this is my wife. And they will do anything to make certain that they get that. Oh, I am this, I am that because I got this. And they will do anything to get that. And God is saying to us, he's saying, you're going to make decisions. And those decisions are going to be based on a God decision or a mammon decision. So he goes on and says to us, next verse. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Stop worrying about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. It's not the life, the God life, more than meat. And the body than raiment. Wow. Let's go on. He says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, nor gather into barns. Birds of the air, they sow not, and they do not reap, and they do not gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. And what is God saying? I want you to listen very carefully right now. Don't miss this point. Sowing and reaping are important. But what God is saying is, don't live your life based on principles. Live your life based on God. Get that point? And when you read through this Sermon on the Mount, that principle comes right across steadily. It's not, I did this right, therefore this. No. Be God connected. Love God. And every other thing shall be added. Because you can sow as a principle, and you can reap as a principle. And any philanthropist, any good businessman, any wealthy man out there will tell you that if you want to have, you better learn how to give. It's a law. And you can practice that law, whether you're Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, atheist, whatever. And that law will work. But having practiced the principle and you don't have God, you are done. So he says right there, birds don't sow, they don't reap, but I take care of them. I'm the factor. I am your provider, period. Now do these other things, but understand that it's about you being connected to me that's important. Amen? Let's go on. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit onto his stature? Being positive. That's not your answer. And why take ye thought for raiment? Are you concerned about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Huh? Does God want you to work? Sure. But he's saying, I don't want you placing your faith on your work. That's how you're going to be blessed. I want you to place your faith in me and then work. But know that I am the one who is elevating you and blessing you. That's the idea. He says, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, if he takes care of the grass of the field that is not busy working, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So why are you worrying? Don't worry about that. Trust me, I will guide you. I will show you what to do. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. They seek for raiment, they seek for shelter, they seek for what they're going to drink, what they're going to eat. It says, the ungodly, the people that don't know God, they seek after that. It says, but I tell you what you need to do. It says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows that you need the clothing. He knows that you need to be fed. He knows that you need a drink. He knows that you need shelter. He knows that you need to be mobile. He knows. So he doesn't need you worrying about it. He says, but I tell you what you need to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek God first and what he wants you to do. And all these things shall be added unto you. All the things that you are squabbling for, it'll be added to you. You have it. So you don't need to fret and worry about it. You're going to have it. It's going to be okay. It's going to be well with you. And today I want to encourage every one of us, those that are here in this house listening, those that are listening online, those that are going to listen in the days to come, hear this. God is your source. Know him and follow his directives. When you know God and you follow the directives of God, you will always come on top. You'll always be head and not tail, above only and never beneath. And in conclusion for today, he says in the next verse, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Stop worrying about tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? What am I going to do? How are things going to be? He says, don't take thought for that. Focus on you and your relationship with God today. He says, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Let tomorrow worry about itself.
Well, isn't that interesting? Let tomorrow worry about itself, not you. Don't worry about it. Why will tomorrow worry about itself? Because it knows before you get to it that it has no ability to control and influence you. That it's not going to be lord over your life. The devil is worrying about tomorrow. What are we going to do when he gets here? He's going to whoop us again. And you say amen to that. Because today I celebrate God, tomorrow I will celebrate God, next week I will celebrate God, I will always celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't add to it. And don't feed it because you're worrying. I'll say this. A few years ago, I was ministering to the saints. I don't do many altar calls. I believe that as you're hearing the Word of God, that the Word of God is bringing what you need to you and reaching you supernaturally. But this particular day, I felt led to call people up, and as I was ministering to them, just about this point here, there was a lady. She'd never been in this church before, never seen her. And as I got to her, the Lord says to me, he says, cast out the spirit of grief from her. I said, what? What is that? Spirit of grief. So I stopped and I asked her, I said, what died? She said, my cat. I said, my cat. How long ago? A few months ago. And I miss my cat. I said, Lord, what do I do with this? And the Lord spoke to me and said, I don't know who this is for, but I want you to hear this. I want you to absolutely hear this right now. Because I am not talking about this because I decided to talk about it. The Lord spoke to me just a moment ago. He says, I want you to talk about this right now. So it's for somebody. He said, when a person or something in your life dies, you can mourn it. You can mourn it for 30 days. He said, the people of Israel mourned for Moses for 30 days, and he began to list, while I was standing there, scriptures into my spirit. 30 days. He said to me, he said, once you go past that 30-day mark, the spirit of grief comes in and your mourning turns to grief and grief begins to kill everything in your life. It will kill your business. It will kill your marriage. It will kill relationship. It will kill your finances. It will just keep on killing because grief feeds on grief. I said, Lord, what do I do with this then? He said, tell her to start thanking me that she had that cat for how long she had it. And said, and by the way, when something or someone dies, he says, mourn them, but somehow shift away from the mourning to celebrating their life and thanking me for the time you had with that life. He says, that's how you're going to bottom off from mourning and grief and come into a place of joy in spite of the situation, and grief will not take hold of your life. You see, when grief takes place, worry, fear comes in. All kinds of other things filter into your life and begin to create disaster. Today, turn that around. Celebrate that person. Celebrate the fact that you had that thing in your life for how long you did. And thank God that He's well able to bring restoration and satisfy you in Himself. Because your satisfaction is not in the things, it is in God. Worship Him, magnify Him, and you know the blessings of God all of your days. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the wonderful privilege accorded me once again to share your word with this illustrious group, these blessed sons and daughters, right here in this arena, right there online. I pray your blessings to abound towards your people. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that the stronghold of grief be shattered, that the stronghold of fear, doubt, worry, confusion be shattered. And Lord, O God, that your anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens be activated in every life. So, Lord, O God, that your people may come into the fullness that only you can bring. We seek after you, Father. We seek after your kingdom and all of its righteousness. And we see every other thing added unto us. We live free of worry. We live free from doubt. We live free from every lie and every deception as we seek your face and bless your holy name. Be magnified, O God, in our worship. Thank you for healing your people and restoring lives. Thank you for eradicating the presence of lack from our lives forever. For we seek you only, and every other thing is added unto us. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed, and all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. I thank God for every one of you. I celebrate the goodness of God in your lives. Honor God with your giving. If you have not already given, do so now. Those of you online, you may do so. You know the regiment. You know what to do and how to do so. Just do accordingly. May God strengthen you and uphold you with his right hand of righteousness. And may God's peace garrison your heart. Live a worry-free life because your faith is in God. Be blessed and be highly favored. And I will see you on Wednesday. And be reminded, please, that on the 28th through the 30th, we are going to have special meetings with Dr. Felix Omobode. Those meetings are going to be starting on a Sunday night, just like this. So it's not midweek, it's not weekend, it's the beginning of the week. Amen? God has something new for every one of us. It's called the Fresh Oil New Wine Conference. And as you see this promo, as we wrap up, this is going to be the last thing you see, and I'm not going to be on the air after that. But I want you to notice something about this particular promo. The first image you see is that which is scattered. been brought together. That's exactly what God wants to accomplish. That which is scattered, brought back together in wholeness. Expect wholeness, a new start. In Jesus' name, amen. Roll the promo and watch it.